everyone, welcome to the Lions podcast. This is the Lions Roar, and my name is Gemma, and I'm here to introduce some amazing guests today. We have Gary Spicer, the Executive Director of Imagine the Day, which is the charity that oversees the Lions Project. And we have the Lions leader herself, Shell Peris. She is here to give us her inspiration today. So today we are chatting about personal development, guys. So how important is it as an entrepreneur to invest in yourself and make sure that you are developing as an entrepreneur? What do you guys think?
Well, I think first of all, it takes a lot of discipline. And also, you know, sometimes we're so busy in doing that we're not sowing into ourselves, which in turn, not developing ourselves. So, you know, I think developing yourself, you can only take people as far as you are yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. You've got to keep that in the forefront of your leadership. You know, it's not a guessing game. It's not just get up in the morning and just do things all intuitively. I think each leader has an intuitive side to them, but also we need to have a side of learning that feeds that intuitiveness. You know, that's not the be all and end all. And so, you know, I think it's putting ourselves, giving ourselves time, space, and permission. And I think those three things initially are really important. You know, sometimes we can give ourselves space, but are we giving ourselves permission and not just thinking about all the things we should be doing? And I think it's really important.
Yeah, because entrepreneurs, we can get so wrapped up in what we're doing and our schedules and our busyness. So how do you, Shell, find time out to really work on you, your personal development?
I think I've learned to do that through not doing that, because you get to the point where you don't do it and then you end up burning out, or, you know, just getting so overly consumed and overly busy with things that you forget why you're doing it in the first place. And so I really try and make time for just to be kind to myself and to have fun. You know, I think one of the great things that we talk about on the Lions program is not taking yourself too seriously. You know, making sure that you do develop that time and have that time for fun and laughing. And that's just as important as the time for all the other things that you do. So yeah, just making sure that you don't get so bogged down in busyness that you forget to have fun and make time for yourself.
I mean, I would say that most leaders do not invest enough in themselves.
Yeah.
I think it's, again, probably one of the main failures. And we've got legitimate excuses. You know, we're busy, there's too much to do, there's people to see, places to go.
Yeah.
But I think it definitely stifles growth. If we're stifling it ourselves, it's going to stifle the organization. And so investing in yourself, you know, as a pastor over years, you know, I used to not want to spend money on going to conferences because I was thinking more about the money, if I'm honest, and time than actually what it could do for me. And certainly when I broke through that and went to places, and that really helped me in a number of ways, not just the teaching, but being with like-minded people, you know, just around the coffee, sparking each other. And often an idea would come around the coffee and I'm thinking, I need to think about that and take that home and cultivate that. But I only would have got that by taking time out.
Yes.
And being not feeling guilty about it.
Yeah. And being out of your sphere of influence. So when you're so invested in your project and your business, actually having the time away from it.
Yeah.
And looking at it from an outside perspective.
Yeah. You have to have that moment where you have the bird's eye view on something, because you can get so bogged down in the details of things that actually to be able to step outside of it and see the bigger picture is massive. I went to California a couple of years ago on holiday, and I had this obsession with palm trees. Everywhere we went, I was looking at these palm trees, in awe of them, absolutely loved them. They were lining the highways. There were some with fairy lights kind of going trailing up them. And this one particular day, I was just sat in the car as we were driving. There were all these palm trees. And I kind of said to God, why have I got such an obsession with these palm trees? And I really sensed the Holy Spirit just saying to me, because it's causing you to look up. You know, I was looking up at these palm trees. And I think sometimes you've got to take those moments to look up and just see beyond where you're at.
I think the other thing is looking down. In other words, soaring.
Yeah.
You know, from a plane point of view, you get a massive view of everything that's going on, not detailed. And I think one of the greatest, I guess, things, responsibilities of leaders is to be able to work on their organization, not always in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we get so busy working in it that we forget to work on it. Mm. And we've got, and that's part of working on ourselves as well.
Yeah.
And positioning ourselves out of the organisation, like you say, conferences or reading or staring at fairy lights on palm trees. I've not reached that height yet, Gemma, but I have been in a plane and looked down. But it's all about having a bigger picture and having a different perspective.
Yeah, because entrepreneurs can sometimes be solopreneurs where they're doing everything in the organisation. Yes. And it's only when you get to a certain level that you build team and then you're able to have those timeouts. So as a solopreneur, I know both of you have been in that situation. What moments have you grabbed? You know, is it training courses? Is it moments away? Is it retreats? Or is it just a little, like half an hour a week? What practical ways have you had personal development?
For me, it's been having the right people around me. Having people, like I'm a real people person. I thrive off being around people. When I relax, I have people over for dinner. You know, like that's just, it gives me energy being around people. And so I've got a few really trusted, great people around me that I can go to for even just an hour and process life with and process where I'm at with. And always, always, always in those times, I come away from them feeling like I've grown. You know, so I really value having those people mm-hmm. that I can go to and just talk to about absolutely anything. And they've also got the permission to ask me anything. You know, so it's those accountable relationships, and you don't have a lot of those. It's maybe with one or two people, but for me that's been a huge part of me growing personally as a leader and as an entrepreneur.
Great.
Yeah, I think for myself, I've always believed in work hard, play hard. And over, you know, look, you can only achieve things through hard work in many ways, and working with people is saying that it's not an easy job, but also you've got to have the same intensity of playing. And I think, you know, you find out what you enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's recreational or going away. And, you know, I play sport. I love sport. So, you know, I've got some really good friends that understand me and I play sport with them. So I wouldn't go for an hour and have a coffee and stare at people. It don't work for me. But what does work for me is when I hit a bad shot and get angry and someone then starts talking to me. No, what I'm trying to say is it's a different context for different people.
Yeah.
And I think you've got to find your context. And if it's people that feed you, then you've got to find the right context for that, where the right conversations take place. Mm. And so, yeah, for me, it's travel, it's sports. It's not the gym. I hate the gym, but that's a lonesome place anyway. But it is with people.
But self-improvement can be difficult. I mean, we all like to find space where we have time out and we get advice from people and all that is great. But actually, self-development is about improving your character and improving your knowledge and improving your creativity.
Yes.
So as an entrepreneur, it is really important to have self-improvement in that way as well. And that can be tough, can't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love what Gary said before about how you can't take other people where you haven't been yourself. You just can't. And so I remember listening to a talk, honestly, it must have been nearly 25 years ago. It was on a tape cassette. It was that long ago. And it was called Never Let Your Gifting Take You Where Your Character Can't Keep You. And it was all about making sure that your character is always ahead of your gifting, that when your gifting takes over, that's when you enter the danger zone, that you've got to make sure that your character's always one step ahead. And I found in my life that whenever God's taken me into a new season of leadership or a new season of ministry or a new season of vision, he always takes me on a journey of character first, and it's painful and it's hard, and you have to look at yourself honestly, and you have to, I guess, make space to kind of walk that journey. And it might involve visiting things from the past that maybe God wants to take you on a new level of healing of, or it might be, it could be all kinds of different things, but there's definitely for me always a character journey before there's a gifting journey. And I think it's just letting God do what God needs to do in you and in your heart in that season, and not kind of trying to run away from it, but just embracing that. And in my experience, when that happens afterwards, it's almost like you're launched into a new level of gifting and leadership. And it's not going through character things so that you can be launched into a new new season of gifting and leadership. It's just growing as a person as you grow in what you do as well.
I think one of the key for my growth is I've always been put myself deliberately around people that are further than me.
Yeah.
better than me.
Yeah.
And I'm all about character as well as gifting.
Yeah.
Overcome things that I don't know how they overcome. You know, when you hear someone speak or teach or are leading something, I always know they've been through it.
Mm.
And then I want to get to them and see how they got through it.
Yeah.
And I think for me, you know, I've traveled to meet people. I've put myself out, spent money to go and sit with people, whether it be business people or leaders of organisations or ministries. And I haven't wanted to say, how did you do it in a strategy sense? I want to say, how did you do it?
Yeah.
How did you keep running? How did you get over that? Mm. You know, and often I've known the challenges I've been through, and it's like, how did you keep fighting?
Yeah.
How didn't you get distracted? And I've got to be honest, round the table or, you know, being with people and being away with people like that in a relaxed atmosphere. Mm. But I have deliberately, if I'm honest, chased what I call big people. And I'm not saying they're better people, but people have gone further than me and are leading things way beyond what I ever think I could lead.
Yeah.
And I know that they've only got 24 hours in the day like me.
Yeah.
They've probably got the same challenges in life like me, but somehow they've overcome and they've kept running. And that race which God's called us to run, we've got to keep running it, haven't we? So I'll do it. That's how I do it. Yeah.
But on that, I think it's really important that as leaders and entrepreneurs, we actually make space to invest in other people as well. You know, so I always think about, if you imagine a brick in a wall, it's got two bricks above it, it's got two bricks at the side of it, and it's got two bricks underneath it. So I'm thinking, okay, who am I looking up to be inspired by? Who is feeding into me? You know, who are the people that are walking alongside me and kind of, you know, I'm doing life with? And who are the people that I'm invested into to help them develop in their leadership journey as well? Because if we keep it all for ourselves or just look to people who are further down the line than us to be inspired by, I think we're not necessarily doing a great job. We've got to be investing in people who are looking to us as well.
Well, I think that stops us being a reservoir and makes that we're a river.
Yes.
And the whole thing, you know, certainly in God is that we're a river. Why would we need something new if we're keeping everything to ourselves?
Yeah.
And there's not a flow through.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, that kind of, I mean, I agree with what Shell's saying. You know, yes, we've got an intake, but also there's got to be a flow through us.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be a selfish leader.
Yeah.
I don't want to be an all accomplished leader. I want to be a selfless leader that's a river passing on. Now, some people might go, oh, you know, he hasn't taught me anything here. That's fine. I'm not worried. But others, it might be a revelation to that helps them move to the next stage.
Yeah.
So I go out developing, seeking people that can feed me. And then, so I think people need to kind of go, am I a river? Let's not be a reservoir. Because we know what a reservoir just stores up water.
Yeah.
I know ultimately it passes it through. But a river keeps on flowing.
Definitely. And I suppose that's kind of why you set the Lions up.
Yeah, well, the Lions has been going, 13 years. We set it up, you know, in 2012. And that was out of, again, seeing people sitting in the pews of church, not being recognised for their pioneering or entrepreneurial, I would say ministry, if I'm honest, and calling. I think, you know, we're so limited often in church where we look at, can we run our church programme rather than can we be kingdom people 7 days a week, 24 hours a day? You know, whether it's a school teacher, whether it's, you know, a mother at the school gate, you know, whether it's a guy doing, helping doing DIY, whatever it is, we've got to kind of bring and say, that's your mission field.
Mm.
But we don't legitimize that the way we preach. And we don't, you know, kind of release and commission people to that. And Lions is really a springboard to help commission people into the marketplace and go, God's called you as much to that as he has to serve directly in church.
Yeah.
Like, I've been a church pastor for 35 years, so I'm not knocking church, but we've got to be broadened. We're firstly kingdom people, then church people.
Yeah. And so, Shell, do you see the Lions as a place for self-development for all of our delegates?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you get people coming onto the Lions and they come on for all kinds of different reasons. Obviously, they want to take their project to the next level. And a lot of people have got their eyes on the project, but by the end of it, they realise that the journey has probably been more about them as people than it has been about their project.
Yeah.
And I think that's even when people are applying onto the Lions programme, we look at 70% the person, 30% the project, because actually the person is always going to be more important than the project. And so, yeah, it's absolutely fantastic for leaders and entrepreneurs who are wanting to invest in themselves as they invest in their project too.
Yeah, and it's really important that, I mean, we talk about arrogance, you know, I mean, overconfidence is often arrogance, and we've got to make sure we keep up confidence. So we want people with confidence on lions, obviously, who believe in their God and believe in what God's called them to do. But it is about being a life learner. And lions is a place. So, you know, we take all ages, obviously, and we see, you know, from different backgrounds. But the issue for me is, are they ready to learn whatever age they are? I don't want to hear their story how they've arrived. I want to hear their story where they want to go.
Yeah.
And if they tell me that story, that gets me excited, because I think, you know, we may just be able to play a little part in spurring them on. Where they're walking, might be able to get them running.
Yeah.
You know, where they're doing it by themselves, we might be able to teach them how to find people and the right people, so that they can achieve what God's put in them. That's all about learning.
Yeah.
And we all need new keys to kind of learn.
Yeah. Totally.
And you've got to be teachable. You've got to be teachable. You know, even I don't think there should ever be a point in life where you're not teachable. You've got to always welcome, you know, not from everybody, you know, but you've got to be able to be taught by people who are a bit further down the line than you, who have, you know, worn the t-shirt, so to speak, you know, that know what they're doing, because that, again, that's how you grow.
I think we, you know, you haven't asked this question, but I think we've got to say to people today, you know, that, I mean, I believe in accountability, but accountability happens through trust.
Yeah.
And trust through good relationships. We've all been let down. We've all let people down. And in that message, you know, often people can get off the bus and go, I'm just going to do it by myself. It's a lot easier. You know, I've had these people and they've just let me down. I'm not going through all that pain again. But God created us to be interdependent, not independent.
Yeah.
And so we're wired that way. So we're fighting against God, how he created us. So we have to risk again.
Yeah.
And part of that learning is, I can't do this by myself. And I've never arrived. And if I feel I've reached some destination God put in my heart, you know, God just moves the destination again. It's like we never arrive, and you've got to learn to go, keep going.
Yeah. And I suppose as entrepreneurs, it is very easy to fall in that trap of just doing things alone, doing things by yourself and being independent. But it is important to stay curious and teachable, as you just said.
Yeah. And I think the problem is most entrepreneurs are fix-it people, male or female.
Yeah.
You know, we think, I'll fix it.
Yeah.
I know what to do. I'll fix it. Don't worry. But that's still a shortcut to burnout.
Yeah.
And also it could be dangerous, a dangerous way of being arrogant.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll give you an example. So Alive, which is a project that sits under Imagine the Day, that I head up as well, that was part of a charity that I set up a number of years ago. And we set up a charity to support that vision. And then it got to the point where I had a real sense of God saying, actually, this needs to come under something bigger in order for it to grow. Now, as an entrepreneur and a leader in that position, there was a part of me that was like, I can't give this away. This is my baby.
Yeah.
You know, this is mine. And actually, it's not mine, because nothing that we have is ours. It's God's. It all belongs to God. And so actually, I went from leading an organization where I was pretty much doing everything on my own to Alive coming under another organization. I kind of had to give it away, even though I still lead it. And now I've got a team, and together, you know, I'm managing that team. And actually, it's grown to a place that, you know, in a short space of time that I couldn't have envisaged a few months back, you know. So actually, I've learned a lot over the last few months about the difference between doing something by yourself, you know, where you're the one that's doing everything all the time, to actually doing things as a team with other people. And you end up, you do more doing it that way than you do when you're just doing it on your own. And, you know, I'm not saying that it was challenge free, and that it was, you know, there was a process that God took me on in that, absolutely. But it was by far the best thing for the vision.
It reminds me of a few years, well, quite a few years ago when I was starting out, you know, and we all want to be everything, don't we? Yeah. And, you know, like, I was no different. It's like, I've got this gift, but I haven't got that gift. God, can you give me that gift, you know? And I remember one day really praying, and I was praying. I said, Lord, if you just gave me this gift, if I could just have that gift, we could move everything so much forward and quicker, Lord. Yeah. Just give it me. And as I was praying, it was like a silence came in the room and a whisper came in my heart. And it was like, I've already done it. And there was a pause. It's like, Richard, Andrew, Mark. And what God was naming, he was naming the people he'd given me that are the gifts I needed He wasn't giving me the gifts for me.
Mm. Wow.
And I always remember that was a massive learning for me, because I thought, I'm praying a prayer and I think I know the answer. God, give it me.
Yeah, yeah.
And God says, I have. Andrew.
Yeah.
Richard.
Yeah.
Mark.
Yeah.
And those guys. And it was a real lesson for me that God, you answer me by giving me people, not giving me the gift. Mm. So I don't become arrogant.
Yeah.
That's good.
Amazing.
That's
fantastic.
You like that show?
I do. That was really well good.
I feel like I've got a headmaster's tick today now, Gemma.
Amazing. It's really interesting to hear your stories and how, as entrepreneurs, you know, you've invested in yourself, in your projects, and the way forward. There is actually a psychologist called Sherry Campbell who says there's 7 senses that entrepreneurs really should invest in to help their self-development. So I just want to get your quick feedback to see if you agree.
Okay.
So the first one is, she says you really need to develop on your sense of self. So be aware of who you are, your values, your belief, and the larger purpose of which you want to pursue. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah. You've got to know yourself, haven't you?
Well, I think you've got to know yourself and also have a self-awareness
yeah.
of what you are and what you're not. And I think spending time on yourself teaches you that. You know, we sometimes don't want to know what we're not, but it's good self-awareness.
Yeah. Mm.
Because if I start moving in confidence and telling people what to do, like if I told people now how to play music, I love music. And I know you two ladies are involved. But, you know, if I picked up a guitar now, you'd walk out the room. It'd be diabolical.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, so I've got to know what I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the self-awareness. And I think, you know, great leaders know what they're not and know what they are.
Yes.
And absolutely. I think that's really vital.
Fantastic. The second one, she says, is a sense of curiosity. So you need an unquenchable thirst for your advancement and for adventure. What do you think about that, Shell?
I love adventure. Absolutely love adventure. Life's boring without adventure. Mm. And I think that ability to stay curious, you know, especially if you've been in a market or an industry for a long, long time, if you lose your curiosity, it's game over. Mm. You know, you've got to have that curiosity, that wondering, that, you know, that ability to ask the right questions and look at the right things. So, yeah.
They're actually a pain to have on your team. And I had a lady on my team, you guys know, called Yvonne, and she became a Christian a lot of years ago. And then I brought her on the team as she was growing, and she never stopped asking questions. She made more appointments to come and see me in the office. I said, what is it now, Yvonne? She goes, I want to know this. And I thought, it got me frustrated until actually I read about curiosity. Now, I forgot I was curious, but really what I'd got in there was a woman who really was curious and wanted to know how she could play the part.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, she is still in the church and she's as curious as ever, but serving 25 years later.
Yeah.
Because she kept curious. Mm. And I realized that curiosity comes with asking the right questions and not stopping asking questions.
Yeah.
But when you're a leader and you've got a curious person with you, Lord help.
Amazing. All right, the third one is sense of direction. So the more you develop yourself, the more pristine you become in achieving what you want.
Interesting. Do you know, I remember years and years and years ago being trained in interviews. So basically you can be asked any question and you can turn it round to be able to give the answer that you want to give. And honestly, it was invaluable, absolutely invaluable. And I think it's part of knowing what you want, isn't it? It's what do I want out of this? What outcome do I want to see in this conversation or in this particular situation? And being able to navigate it accordingly.
Mm.
Yeah, okay. I think, you know, I know I'm a strong leader and I know I can persuade people to do things. But as a Christian leader, I've never wanted to manipulate people to do things. And there's a big difference.
Yeah.
And I've really kind of thought about this a lot and said, you know, what is the difference, God, between persuasion and manipulation? Because they're very close together.
Yeah.
And I've come to the conclusion, I'm not saying it's a total conclusion, that manipulation benefits me. Persuasion benefits us both.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think that's something leaders need to really think about. You know, am I asking you, Gemma, to do something that benefits you and me?
Yeah.
Or am I just saying, I want you to do this and it's just benefiting? And I think, you know, if we can carry that and that helps also make me accountable. Like I ask myself the question, am I just doing this to get something for me?
Mm.
And it's a real test.
Yeah.
But it helps me keep a right motivation.
Amazing. Yeah. Okay, the fourth one is the sense of follow through. When you're committed to personal development, you always find a way to develop the necessary will. Do you agree with that?
Well, they say, don't they, you know, if you start something, you should finish it. Now, yeah. I need people with me on that.
Yeah.
I got to be honest. I need people. So follow through is finishing well and finishing what you say you would finish. And there are a lot of good starters in this world and not so many finishers, you know, and those who finish well as well, even in life and ministry and calling. So I think, you know, I think for me personally, if I'm being really honest, I need people around me to make sure, not that I will do what I say, but let me finish what I've been asked to do. Mm. And I need some accountability on that one. Just being honest, it's like I need people to shout at me and say, you said you would finish this. Go and finish. So I'm a starter who wants to finish.
Yeah.
But needs people with me to finish well.
Yeah, and it's great having a team around you to help you do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think you want people as well in that aren't just going to be with you for a little bit. Mm. You know, you're always going to get the people that are with you for a little bit, but actually you're looking for the people who are going to be with you for a while.
Yeah.
You're looking for the people who are going to say, do you know what? I'm with you for the next 3 to 5 years because that builds sustainability, that builds growth, that builds all kind, you know, relational thing, like really good working relationships. So I think that helps with.
I totally agree with Cheryl there because, you know, I have taken over the latter parts of leadership. It's like I will say to people, I need you for 5 years.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is I need to develop you and for you to really fulfill what you want to fulfill and us want to fulfill, it's going to take that long. You know, today we're living in such an immediate consumer society where people press a button and want something. There's still things that count today cost. They really cost, and they cost time, and they cost effort, and they cost longevity. And so if we really want to build something that's sustainable, you know, in vision, you definitely need a longevity of people with you. It's correct. Some come for a season, some go, but it really shakes an organization. If you've got staff turnover or volunteer turnover every year, you can't build anything stable. And I think, you know, both you ladies here, you built stuff yourselves. You know that counts.
Yeah.
So I like to put the challenge right at the front end. Hey, if you're going to come and work with us, share with us, you know, we're going to take a bit of time on this. It's going to take some effort. Yeah. You know, I don't keep you up to a promise, but they know my expectation.
Yeah.
And I'm being real because I know how long it's going to take.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right, the fifth one, ways that we can develop ourselves, is a sense of urgency, because urgency drives inspiration. And when you're the underdog, you would dig deep inside of yourself so that you can thrive.
I think it's an interesting one, urgency. I think it's a really interesting one because I think you can be too urgent sometimes. You know, I think you can, Gary always says to me, about taking a grace pause and just sometimes waiting and saying, okay, I've had this email that's come in that's gonna cause a few challenges or cause a few issues. Let's just take our time on this one. Let's not reply out of urgency, but let's reply out of having had the time to process and think it through properly. So I think from that point of view, sometimes you can be a little bit too urgent. But then when you think about, you know, the gospel and you think about, you know, transforming lives and all those kinds of things, you think actually there is an urgency, you know, there is an urgency to this task that God's given to us or this call that God's placed on our lives or this thing that God's asked us to do. So I think it's getting the balance right between looking at what's urgent in a sense of it's compelling me to do this and what is not urgent in the sense of if I act on this too quickly, it's going to cause me more issues.
So I disagree with it.
Okay.
And I disagree with it because I think urgency and what's important are a battleground consistently in our decision making on time. And I think that urgency, even though I understand, like, if there's a car accident or something happens, let's be practical, you've got to respond straight away. But I think in the realm of life and leadership, urgency is really an enemy of what's important. And I think we can end up being reactionary rather than responsive. And so, look, I am a pretty quick decision maker. I'm not a slow decision maker. But as, you know, Shell said there, you know, sometimes on big decisions, it's like, I'm not going to react on that. I need a grace pause. I need a thinking time so that I respond and not react. I'm an emotional being like everybody. And sometimes if I see injustice or see something happen, I want to react. but I think reaction can get us in trouble
yeah.
and take us down a road that doesn't really lead to a positive conclusion. So even though urgency I get, I don't want to be driven by urgency. Mm. I want to be driven by importance. What's okay. important.
Yeah, good point, good point. There's only two more left.
Okay.
The sixth one is a sense of resilience. There will be tough times in life and business. When tough times occur, you need the skills to deal with it effectively. Now, I'm guessing you agree with this, right?
Yeah.
I agree with it. You're not going to get me arguing with this one. Look, I think resilience is one of those things that is lacks in many people's lives today. Yeah. And, you know, we've got to be resilient. We've got to, I said earlier, you know, we've got to be overcomers.
Mm.
And I think, you know, God's called us to be overcomers. And with his strengths, I think resilience overcoming can take place. And it does prove our character, does prove our leadership. But, you know, what is it saying? 1 Corinthians, I think it's 10:9 or something. It says, you know, Paul went through a door which was open for effective ministry, but there was those that opposed him. So, you know, what we've got to be surprised of, when we go through the right door, there'll be those opposed. And I find people walk through the door, see the opposition and walk back.
Mm. Yeah.
And then say, God's never given me an opportunity.
Not for me.
You know, that trouble's not for me. Look, leading is trouble and we've got to overcome. Mm. So resilience we have to carry. And, you know, it's an inner strength that I believe God can build into us over time.
Yeah.
As we overcome, we can overcome more. You know, David killed the bear and the lion before he killed Goliath. There was a, you know, there was a process to Goliath.
Yeah.
And we've got to recognize there's a process God builds into our lives that we conquer little, then we conquer a bit bigger, then we can take on the real giant.
Mm. Okay, that was a good answer. Good. Very good. And the last one, Shell, is a sense of connectedness. So yeah. being connected to people, businesses, organizations around us that are going to make us push towards our goals. Now, I'm assuming because you are the leader of the Lions that you're totally going to agree with this. So tell us, how does being connected to the Lions help people in their self-development?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we've worked really hard on over the last few years with the Lions is this extended Lions family. You know, that once you're part of the Lions, once you're a Lions delegate, you're always part of the Lions. You're part of the pride, so to speak. And it's something that's really important to us, actually. You know, we get these 16 people for a year, some get through to a second year, possibly even a third year. But we want to make sure that every single person that comes on the Lions program is connected to each other in some way. Obviously the 16 that journey together through a particular year will be really well connected because they get to know each other even more. But you know, we've got, you know, nearly 200 delegates that have been through Lions that will continue to grow and grow and grow, and we want all of them to feel like they belong to something bigger. Because I think when you feel like you belong to something that's bigger than yourself, that in itself spurs you on. You know, you need those people around you who will motivate you, who will pick you up when you're down, who will help you to be resilient, who will help you to, you know, wrestle with those big questions and decisions that we have to make. So yeah, we really try and cultivate that within the Lions.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a great conversation about personal development. And I think it's fair to say that entrepreneurs need to be the best at personal development. And you guys have really highlighted some reasons for that. So thank you so much. Thank you for joining the podcast. It's been another great one. I hope you are enjoying this and getting lots of great tips and advice for entrepreneurs. Please do follow our journey. We will be back with some more topics coming up. Put your comments in the comment section. We want to hear from you. What have you learned from this podcast and how has it inspired you? Thanks for tuning in. See you next time.